So last week, we talked about building your house on the rock. This was a parable that Jesus taught at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I've given you all of the information. I've given you everything that you need to know. This is truth. This is the gospel. Some of it doesn't sound the way you expected it to, but if you build your house on the truth that I've just communicated, you're going to stand the test of time. And so we talked about how we should build our house on the rock, even when it's the harder thing to do, because trying to drive into rock, trying to dig into rock, trying to set a foundation in rock is going to be much harder work than trying to do it in sand. And yet Jesus commands us to do just that. He says, do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing to do. Last week we talked about how you're going to feel then when the storm comes, the storms of life, and you know that you've anchored yourself to the rock. And we said that God is going to bless you. God is going to have his hand on you. You're still going to have to go through the hard time, but you're going to know that you're anchored to truth. Last week we talked about that. This week we're going to talk about the moments that come before the storm. The difficulty, the struggle that we go through in building our house on the rock, and how the Bible tells us don't get discouraged during that time, because what you're doing is going to last. The question is, how do we keep making the right decisions when we feel like we're falling further and further behind? We started off on about the same playing field as our neighbor. We both bought a house together. Now I'm looking out and their lawn is really green and my lawn still is kind of patchy. And they just put up a new fence and I don't have a fence, and they've got a pool in the backyard and I don't have a pool in the backyard. And so we feel like, for right or wrong, that we're slipping further and further behind. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Because truth is, I've been there. I've been in the point where I was doing what I felt was right. I was doing the right thing. But instead of a reward, it just felt like more resistance. It just felt like things got harder. And you sacrifice and you see somebody else get the promotion. Or you stay pure. You focus on keeping your heart pure, your attitude pure, on doing the right things. And you see that somebody else gets platformed. And somebody else takes the opportunity that you were hoping for, and you start to think that maybe integrity is the wrong investment. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Psalm 73, because we're not alone in this. In fact, the Bible tells tons of stories of people that are in situations exactly like we are. That tells tons of stories about times in people's lives where they got frustrated, where they got angry, where they cried out to God. And Psalm 73 is one of these. It's written by a man named Asaph, who was a Levite, he was a priest, he was a poet, and in a lot of ways was a prophet to the nation of Israel. He ministered during the time of King David, and he wrote Psalm 73. And he starts things off. I'm actually going to read today out of the New Living Translation. Derek, I didn't tell you that ahead of time, so sorry about that. But we'll do our best to kind of keep on the same page. But I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation today. But he starts off talking about how truly God is good to Israel. Truly, oh good, we did get it up there. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. And what he says is that he's kind of setting up what this psalm is about. He says, I know that God is good, but then verse 2 says, as for me, I almost lost my footing. As for me, I almost slipped and fell. I knew that God was good, but something happened that made me question, that made me slip. And we see this in this psalm. So as we go through, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that he believed in God's goodness, but he almost lost it because he couldn't reconcile the things that he saw. He saw that the wicked were thriving. He saw that the arrogant were popular. He saw that the dishonest were winning. And he was left asking in verse 13, what good is it for me to keep my heart pure? And maybe you felt that too. For those of you in here that are a little bit younger, maybe you're in middle school or high school right now, you scroll through TikTok, Instagram, you see the people who are partying, who are mocking God, who are living wild, and you assume that because they're popular, they're on top, and they've got it all figured out, and you think to yourself, okay, I know what the Bible's telling me, I know what my parents are telling me, and yet I see over there They're the ones that have all of the relationships. They're the ones that seem to have all of the fun. And I just don't know if this is going to be worth it long term. And so you start to wonder, what is the point of doing the right thing? Those of you guys in here that are your parents, you've got a house, you're kind of established, you've figured out at least in part this adulting thing. You're working, you're parenting, you're trying to build your future, but there comes a point where you start to feel stuck. You're doing the right thing, but you're looking over at your neighbors and you're like, wait, they have a pool. I want a pool too. When am I going to get a pool? Or you think, man, their kids are always dressed the same and I can barely get shoes on mine. What's going on? Why am I not able to come through with this? And you start comparing yourself to other people and you think to yourself, God, am I wasting the best years of my life? God, am I wasting this by doing it your way? And for those of you guys that are now empty nesters, you're at retirement age, you've lived a life of faith. You've seen, you stuck to your integrity, you stuck to your guns, you made sure that your character was spot on. When you were at work, you made sure to do things the right way. In your relationships, you try really hard to reconcile, you try really hard to forgive. You've been doing the right thing for a long time. But now there's got to be a thought inside of you. That just, it's not all the time, but every once in a while it pops up and you ask yourself, did my sacrifices matter? Was it worth it to do all of the things that I did? Why do I feel overlooked when I see other people in my life, those who didn't live the right way, and it seems like they're prospering? Why am I feeling this way? And so this is where we find ourselves today, and this is where Asaph finds himself as he's writing this psalm. Because our question today then is, why do I feel overlooked? Why do I feel like I'm wasting my time? Why do I feel like this way when I see everybody around me seeming to prosper? And so our warning today then is this: if you don't deal with bitterness early, it's going to deal with you later. If you don't deal with bitterness early, it's going to deal with you later. So we see in Psalm 73, a man named Asaph, he writes about how he nearly fell off a cliff of envy. He starts by reassuring us, though, in his introduction to this psalm. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Verse 2, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. And it's so easy. Well, maybe it's not easy, but it should be easy to see ourselves in this, where we see ourselves envying. We see ourselves carrying that bitterness inside of us. And we can feel ourselves slipping and asking these questions, and these doubts start to creep into our mind. Asaph says, I made a decision that almost cost me everything. So I want you to listen, he says, because I'm going to show you the spot in the road where I slipped so that you don't make the same mistake. I'm going to show you the area in my life where I almost took a tumble, that spot in the sidewalk where it's bumped up just a little bit, where I almost fell. He says, I'm going to show you that spot so that you don't do the same thing. All right, let's jump into it. So Psalm 73, verse 3. Says, for I envied the proud. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are healthy and strong. I deal with back pain all the time. I'm constantly in agony. Their bodies are doing just fine. And so I envied them. I got jealous of them. The truth is, he says, when I look at them, it doesn't even seem like they have troubles the way that normal people have troubles. They're not plagued with problems like everybody else. Everything they do turns to gold. God, I want to be like that person. I want to live that sort of life. He says they wear their pride like a jeweled necklace. They're constantly flaunting. They're constantly showing off. They're constantly showing people, look at me. Look at me, look at what I have around my neck. And they clothe themselves with cruelty. They're constantly putting others down. He says, these fat cats have everything. Everything that their heart could ever wish for. They scoff. They speak only evil. And in their pride, they seek to crush others. He says they boast against the very heavens. Their words strut throughout the earth. And so people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. Man, how many people, I don't know, you guys probably aren't online as much as it feels like I am sometimes. But how many times do you come across Facebook comments or posts on different social media platforms, TikTok or Instagram, where they're telling you, I've discovered the secret to life. And I'm going to show you what it means to be an alpha male. I'm going to show you what it means to live. And it's all about stepping on other people. And it's all about putting other people down. And it's all about, I'm going to be the biggest, the toughest, and the strongest so that everybody will know that I'm winning at life. And you can do that too if you just buy my course and you just pay me money, then I'll show you how to do the same things that I'm doing. And so he says here, and it's interesting, this is, you know, thousands of years ago. And Asaph is calling out the very same behaviors that we see today. He says people are dismayed and confused, so they drink in their words, they pay for the program, they're ready to do whatever it takes to see those same results that the wicked people are seeing. Verse 11, what does God know? They ask themselves. Who is this God? Anyway, does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. I don't know if you've ever compared yourself to other people, but comparison will always lie to you. Comparison will always lie to you. It's always going to try and trick you. You're always going to compare your mundane to somebody else's highlight reel. You're always going to look at the car in the driveway and not the debt in their bank account. You're always going to compare yourself to other people, and there's no way that you're ever going to get an accurate picture of their life. It's hard to see somebody at school that might be more popular than you, and you might think then that they are worth more than you are. But the Bible teaches that God loves you no matter what. The Bible teaches that God loves you, so you don't compare yourselves to others. Understand and become secure in who God is calling you to be. You might see your friends or your coworkers getting promoted at work, and you think that they're living the dream. But the truth is, success isn't a straight line. And you know, and you don't know the work, and you don't know the struggles that they're having behind the scenes. So don't compare yourself to their promotions. Instead, trust and understand, because some people, they lie their way to the top, don't they? Some people take credit for other people's ideas. Sometimes they take shortcuts, or they create loopholes. They work the system. And that's not how God is calling us to be. But then there's a truth, too, that we compare ourselves to other people, and sometimes we lie about ourselves. And we say, God, I'm keeping my nose clean. I'm checking all the boxes. But we don't always. We show up 5 minutes late for work, and we assume that we have a valid excuse. But if somebody else shows up 5 minutes late for work, we assume that it's because they're lazy. And so we start comparing ourselves in those ways, and we say to ourselves, look at them. They're getting promoted. They're getting all of these things. And sometimes the lie is in us. Sometimes we need to be doing better. Sometimes we need to be checking ourselves. We want to make sure that we're not allowing that comparison to lie to us, because we can be really good at making excuses for ourselves, can't we? Well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. If you only knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be talking to me like this. And of course, there's truth in those things sometimes. But some people in here, you've given, you've sacrificed your entire life. And now you look at people and you're like, man, I wish I could go on that trip. I wish I could go to that place. I wish I could do the things that I see other people doing. But you don't realize the sacrifice. You don't realize what they went through. And you don't realize that God has you exactly where he wants you. You feel cast aside and forgotten. And so what happens is then we don't realize that God sees every sacrifice. And the Bible promises over and over and over again that when you sacrifice, he will reward you. So take comfort in that. Don't give up on your story just yet. We see here then how bitterness distorts reality. The comparison always lies to us, and bitterness, it distorts reality. It's like looking, trying to look at your cell phone screen when it's all cracked, right? It's all broken, and the pieces don't line up exactly right, and so you're trying to figure out what's happening on the screen. It's trying to look like trying to look through binoculars, but somebody put Vaseline on the outside of the lens, and you can't see quite clearly enough. You're looking, and you're trying to focus, and you're trying to look hard at the thing, the destination, the goal, the place that you know you're supposed to be, but there's a filter on it. There's something that's distorting the image, and you can't see it clearly. And so bitterness then becomes like a cracked cell phone screen, or like radio static, where it distorts reality. If you've ever had the privilege of listening to two different radio stations at the same time, you can know what a frustration that can be. Like if you're driving from here to Spokane, there's a certain spot where Positive Life Radio 89.9 turns into some Hispanic station that's constantly playing... what's the word for it? What's the Hispanic music? Somebody help me out. I couldn't hear what you said. But whatever that is, I'm sure it was right. It was distorted because the sound didn't travel all the way to the stage. See, that's another sermon illustration. So if you've ever driven through, though, you get this mix of two different styles of music for a little bit, and then eventually it clears up. Depending on which way you're going, the radio station clears up. But there can be frustration there for a minute as you're constantly battling back and forth between these two different ideas. And in the same way, bitterness distorts reality because it turns disappointment into a personal attack. Somebody promises to do something for you. They let you down, and all of a sudden, it's not just that they forgot, but they were trying to get me. They were trying to keep me down. They were trying to hold me down. They didn't see how much that meant to me, and now that disappointment becomes a personal attack because that person doesn't value me. They don't love me. So we start to see ourselves like that. And so you start to begin to believe that you're invisible or that you're overlooked by everybody. And eventually you start to translate that disappointment, those feelings, onto your heavenly Father. Because you say, if I'm being overlooked and God is supposed to be taking care of me, he's supposed to be looking after me, then eventually it must be coming from the top down. It exaggerates other people's successes. We've already talked about this. They had a win, and so you assume that they always win. I never win. Because bitterness distorts reality. But what we see is what God wants to cultivate in us is this idea of gratitude and trust in us. And when we do that, then it will replace the jealousy that we're feeling in our lives. Sometimes bitterness distorts by making us suspicious of good intentions. Somebody's nice to you, and you're like, well, I wonder why. Somebody brings you a plate of cookies, and you're like, oh, I wonder what their agenda is. Somebody says something nice to you in the elevator at work, and you just assume that they're sucking up to you because they're gunning for a promotion or something. You start to become jealous. You start to become suspicious of their good intentions. You assume that they're just doing it out of guilt, or they're doing it out of obligation, or they're doing it to manipulate you. You become suspicious of their good intentions because bitterness distorts reality. You isolate yourself then from people who genuinely care about you and who are genuinely trying to look after you because of that bitterness inside of you. It causes you to misread God's character as well, because you're going through a hard season and you assume that God must not be good. You're trying to look through those binoculars at the other side, and it's blurry, it's distorted. You can't see clearly what's coming up next. You feel like you're walking through darkness. And yet God wants to be with you. And so then you stop praying, not because you don't believe, but because you think God doesn't care about you. And yet God wants you to keep going. And then you focus only on what's missing. You start to put your focus only on the things that you don't have, only on the things that you haven't attained yet. Instead of looking at all of the things that you do have, you're looking over at your neighbor's yard, and you're forgetting that you also have a house on the same street. And maybe it has one less bedroom and one less bathroom. And maybe the yard doesn't look quite as nice as theirs, but God has set you in a place for a reason. You overlook God's faithfulness. This is important. You overlook God's faithfulness in pursuit of fairness. You overlook God's faithfulness in pursuit of fairness. You say to yourself, man, if only I could have this, then I would know that God was blessing me. In verse 13, he calls out some of these distortions, so I just want to read through them really quick. He says, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. What's he doing? He's focusing on what's missing, right? He's suspicious of other people in his life. He's misreading God's character. He says, I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task that is. I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. What a difficult task it is. But thankfully, he's going to go on to talk about how bitterness distorts reality, but the presence of God restores clarity. The presence of God restores clarity. Let's keep reading. He says, then I went into your sanctuary, O God. He said, I tried to understand. I tried to figure it out on my own, but then I went to church. Then I got around other people who knew God. Other people were worshiping, so I decided to worship along with them. Other people were praying, so I decided to start praying. I got into your presence, oh God. I went into your sanctuary, and finally I understood the destiny of the wicked. He said, I was able to go into your presence, so now it's like you pulled me to that 10,000 foot, that 30,000 foot view. And now I can see the bigger picture in life. You cleaned off the lenses of my binoculars. Now I can see clearly, and now I can see everything that's happening. He says, I finally understood after I got into the presence of God. God, you restored my clarity. I went into your sanctuary. I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. He says, truly, you put them on the slippery path. Remember, he said, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you the slippery path so that you don't slip and fall. He says, truly, the wicked are the ones that are on the slippery path, and you sent them sliding over the cliff to destruction. He says, and in an instant, they are destroyed. You've watched them grow. You've watched them prosper. You've watched everything they touch turns to gold, but in an instant, they are destroyed. He says, for those that are wicked, they are completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas. Remember, these are the same people that said, where is God? God isn't even paying attention to me. He says, you're going to laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at their dreams in the morning when they wake up and they start to realize, oh, there wasn't actually somebody chasing me. That was just a dream. When the binoculars were cleaned off, when everything was clear again in their mind, and they start to realize, he says, God, this is how you're going to treat those who are treating you in this way. In other words, he says, don't envy the wicked. Don't look up to them. Don't judge yourself based on them, because their end is going to come swiftly. It's going to come immediately. And when you see that end come, you're going to recognize it for what it is. You're going to recognize that the way they've lived their life up to this point has led them to the edge of the cliff where they slipped off. It wasn't God that led them there. It was the way that they were living their life, the decisions that they made, and they all along the way were able they all along the way made decisions that led them to the edge of that cliff. And you thought they were climbing the ranks. You thought they were getting ahead. You thought you watched them climb up that mountain and you're like, man, I'm stuck back here because I'm carrying all of this extra weight. I'm doing all, you know, I'm taking the switchbacks. I'm following the trail like a good person. And I'm watching them climb over things and they're getting ahead. And then you watch them slip and you watch them fall. And you realize, man, it's a good thing that I stuck to the path the whole time. This is what Asaph is talking about here. He says, my health may fail. My spirit might grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you, O God. But as for me, how good it is to be near to God. how good it is to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. What he's saying here is that God is the real reward. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage. God is the real reward. A couple minutes ago during worship, we sang that song, Nothing Else, and I want us to sing it again here. Because we compare ourselves to everything else that's going on in life. We think to ourselves, I just want to attain this. I just want to have this goal. I just want to hit this number at work. I just want to attain this raise or this promotion, or I just want to have this in my family. I just want whatever it is, fill in the blank. But Asaph is saying here exactly what the song told us earlier, and that is that nothing else matters. God is the real reward. So don't bury your bitterness under busyness. Instead, what we want to do is we want to choose to seek God now. Don't assume that this is hard, so I shouldn't do it. Instead, assume this is hard because God has me exactly where he wants me. And God is taking me on the path that is going to get me to my goal. Last week, we chose integrity. We chose to build on the rock. This week, we're learning how to protect integrity. We're learning what it means to do the right thing, to make that right decision day in and day out. And if you notice in the psalm, Asaph calls out, he says, the key to the whole thing, the key to me coming back in line in my thinking, the key to me understanding again is when I came into the sanctuary of God, when I came into your presence again, and God brought clarity in that moment. So if you're in here and maybe you're still in high school, and or you're a young adult in here, and you are tempted to compare yourself to other people, God wants you and he wants to remind you that you're not behind. You're planting seeds right now. And those seeds he promises will produce a harvest. And in the meantime, he's going to walk beside you in whatever area you find yourself in. Maybe you're a little bit further along in life. Maybe you're a parent in here and you're trying to do what's right, but you feel like it's not paying off and you feel like you've gotten stuck in life. What I want us to do, if you're in that situation, I want you to lay down your comparisons. Lay down those comparisons. Maybe it means that God is going to ask you to fast from Instagram for a month because you just find yourself, every time you log in, you find yourself comparing yourself to other people. Maybe God wants you to set that aside for a little bit so that you can pursue his presence. And those of you guys in here that you've been walking with God for a long time and you've been asking yourself lately, is it worth it? God says yes. God says yes, it was worth it. God says there is a crown that has been prepared for you. God says that he has a place that he has prepared for you, that whether you see it in this life or in the life to come, it was worth it. So don't allow this bitterness to cloud yourself right now. Instead, in exactly the same way as Jamie and Mickey so beautifully demonstrated earlier, understand that God isn't done with you yet. That God wants to use you in this season of time. God says yes. God says yes. All of the things that you've gone through up to this point, they were worth it. They were worth it. Because he was building something inside of you. He was preparing something inside of you. You have a message to bring now to the next generation. You have wisdom to give. And God wants to use you. I want to open the altars today. We're going to sing this.